a reading from the Minor Prophet, meaning only less wordy, the Minor Prophet Habakkuk, which is another pronunciation. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Habakkuk asks a question that we can all relate to, I think. And his question is, how long? How long are we going to have to put up with violence, injustice, oppression, and pain? It's a question we may ask when we peruse the headlines, when we're brave enough to click on our CNN app or whatever is your news outlet of choice. In the words of the hymn, still your children wander homeless, still the hungry cry for bread, still the captives long for freedom, still in grief we mourn our dead. How long are we going to have to deal with this? Habakkuk says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? In Habakkuk's time, he was writing after the fall of the northern kingdom to Assyria and during the rise of another great army, Babylon, that would ultimately come to take Judah, the southern kingdom. Habakkuk was crying out to God about injustices in Judah, where he lived, failing to love and honor God, failing to love neighbor, injustice against the poor, a bad king, there were quite a few of them, economic oppression in Judah, and then when he looked outside of Judah, he sees Babylon strengthening. So Habakkuk cries out to God, how long? Why? Do something. This crying out to God in Scripture has a special name. It's called a lament. Many of the Psalms are laments to God, including the one quoted by our Lord and Savior Jesus from the cross, Psalm 22, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's lamenting. One important thing that I think we learn right off the top from Habakkuk and from psalmists and from Jesus is that when we look at the world and we don't like what we see, when we are mad or sad or angry at the world or at God, it is totally okay to complain to God about it. We're supposed to do that. It doesn't show a lack of faith to reach out to God in this way. In fact, it shows a lot of faith. If you had no faith, we wouldn't cry out. But we at least know where the complaint department is because we believe in God and we trust in God's promises. So Habakkuk complains to God and he says, how long? And the first answer he gets from God, he doesn't like. I don't like it either. If I had gone with it, if this had been the first answer to me, I would have said to myself, I'm so sorry I asked. The first answer he gets, God says, I'm going to use the Babylonian army to punish Judah for doing the bad things that they've done. Habakkuk is horrified. I'm going to read from the message for Habakkuk's response. It's just a little quicker. Here's the response when he finds out God's plan. God, you chose Babylonians for your judgment work? Rock solid God, you gave them the job of discipline? You can't be serious. You cannot condone evil, so why don't you do something about this? Why are you silent now? This outrage. Evil men swallow up the righteous, and you stand around and watch. In other words, Habakkuk is saying, you're going to take people that are more unjust, more idolatrous, and use them to punish your people for their idolatry. It doesn't make any sense. So he keeps engaging God in conversation. Another lesson we can learn. If we don't like the first answer, we can keep talking. We can keep asking. So he goes up to the watchtower, to the rampart. And he looks and he listens for God's reply to his rebuttal. And they have a conversation back and forth. And this is God's response. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end. It does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. The spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. God's response to Habakkuk is, don't worry, I'm still God. God's response to Habakkuk is, there is a vision for the appointed time. It speaks about the future. It does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. But it is coming. Habakkuk is a great model for faith. He's asking God the hard questions, and he's watching and waiting for God to answer and to act. And he's leaning on his faith to get through the hard times that are coming, trusting that God is still God. For Christians, the vision for the appointed time is found most clearly in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The vision for the appointed time is not about storming Babylonian armies, but it is about the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ and the way he tells us to view the world. People who follow Jesus watch and wait for God to move. They ask hard questions and watch and wait for God to answer. God's vision that does not lie for a Christian is found in Jesus and what Jesus called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The world's vision is blessed are the rich. God's vision, the vision that does not lie, is blessed are the poor. The world's vision is love your friends most of the time. God's vision, the vision that does not lie, is love your enemies too. The world's vision is that power and wealth are the keys to greatness and success. God's vision, the vision that does not lie, says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, taking the form of a servant. God's vision of greatness that does not lie looks like service. That's why we send people on mission trips. The world's vision is take your money, look out for number one. God's vision, the one that doesn't lie, is blessed to be a blessing. So we are to watch for signs of God at work through the Holy Spirit. And we will see God at work, not in invading armies, but in acts of peace and love and justice and care. We see God at work at Glenmar Church, in the people going forth from here in Jesus' name. We watch and wait in faith, and then we put our faith to work in love. Our proclamation, our witness, is that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Our proclamation is that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us as the body of Christ to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When we see injustice, evil, and oppression in the world, what is a Christian supposed to do? You all are baptized. We're supposed to resist it. It says right there in the vows. How are we supposed to resist it? Are we supposed to return evil for evil? Are we supposed to return injustice for injustice? No, we are to use the freedom and power that God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression. What is that freedom and that power? It is the freedom of faith that helps us not be a slave to fear. It is the power of hope that reminds evil, injustice, and oppression that the world is not really how they think that it is. There is a vision, says hope, and it does not lie, and it will come. Wait for it. The other weapon that God gives us is love. The freedom and power that God gives us in Christ to love. And we write it in big letters. This vision of God, this vision of the wolf lying down with the lamb, this vision of hope and healing for all, this vision of beloved community, as Dr. King called it, a vision of a community made different because of Jesus. We write it in big letters so that we can read it on the run. In the midst of busyness and ministry and work and life and news and stressed out, being so stressed out, burnout, we can quickly turn to see why we do what we do and who's really in charge around here. We need constant reminders. Hint, it's not me. It's not Habakkuk or Habakkuk. It's not you. It's the one who said to Habakkuk, "The righteous will live by faith." Write it in big letters so that we're running, when we're running the race of life, when we encounter hard times, when we face uncertainty and fear, when we're tempted to forget, it'll be easy for us to see and to remember. Our God is the everlasting God. He does not grow faint or grow weary. He will not leave you or forsake you. Big letters. Sometimes you have to read God's promises through tears. And so we write it in big letters. In hard seasons, we can know that God is always with us, even to the end of the age. That's Jesus' promise. A big sign that we may see it by day and by night, that we may read it on the run. Christians, watch for the places Christ is at work. We look for those God winks where beauty and love and justice is found. If you want to know where God is at working, think about the Lord's Prayer and when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Wherever God's will is being done, love, justice, peace, hope, faith, kingdom breaks out. We watch and we wait and then we engage. We put our faith to work in love. Once you catch a glimpse of this God at work and you engage your faith in love, you answer the question with how long? Not long. In the words of Dr. King, how long? Not long. Because truth crushed to earth will rise again. How long? Not long, because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. How long? Not long. Because once your eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, things look a little different. And His truth is marching on. Amen.